Morning.
Morning.
For those who are just coming in, we have an esteemed guest with us this morning, Jeff Holland from Pioneer of Matter Translators, and he spent much of the last hour in Sunday school class bringing us up to speed about what has been happening for the last 5 years since he was first here. He will be preaching for us this morning, and so I just wanted to, Jeff, if you would just stand and let the young ladies and gentlemen see your face. His wife, Brenda, couldn't be here with us, but she's otherwise engaged in Virginia at a conference. And as he says, she's better looking and smarter anyway. So that next time. So, Jeff, welcome. Hope you enjoy the visit with us.
Think we got it.
Nope.
Close. All right, we're on. All right. My name's Jeff, and I'm glad to be with you guys. A lot of faces that I don't remember from the past. I've been here over the years. About 2008, this church invited our family to minister alongside you guys. We had been overseas for a long time, and we moved back to the States. And I work with Pioneer Bible Translators, trying to make sure that the Word of God gets around the world. And you guys decided that you were going to walk alongside us to see that happen. And I want you to think about what it would be like to grow up as much of the world does. So this morning, you may be using your Bible book, or maybe you have your Bible on a portable device. So this is actually where I'm using my Bible today, is on a pad. Some of you are using phones, and some of you are using Bibles. Imagine being a people somewhere in the world, and they've never had a Bible, and little by little, the Bible's translated. It's leaked out, and somebody's sitting under a mango tree, and they're trying to understand what this word means. And it's translated in small portions, usually. Sometimes they'll start with like a book of Jonah, or sometimes they pick another book, and it depends on where these people are. Different things resonate with different people at different times. Or imagine you were one of the people born into a place and your Bible looked like this, meaning nothing had ever been translated into your language. It's a blank Bible. Bible translation is needed so that we can allow people to hear, because we know that when people hear the Word of God, it can transform them. But millions of people around the world still don't have a Bible. 7,000 languages in the world. Most of us don't think about that. The far majority of the world doesn't have Bibles in their own languages. And I have probably 7 or 8 different English translations in my home. We're blessed. I love the time this morning when we got to talk about what are our blessings, to take a moment to express an attitude of gratitude. And that was a really encouraging time. So thank you for letting me participate with you in that. I want to take it wherever I go. And I want us to look at something that goes right along with the Lord's Supper today, because we're going to look at something that happened with Jesus and his disciples. And I'm going to take us old school. I'm not going to show you any slides up here. We're actually going to use the Word of God. And if you don't have a Bible to look at, that's okay, because a ton of people around the world don't have the ability to read and write, because they've never had somebody that taught them those skills. They never had the ability to go to school. Maybe their parents couldn't afford it, even if there was a school in their community. Or maybe their language has never been put into an alphabet. And the only way they get the Bible is to listen to it in chunks on the radio or on their phone or some other way. So if you can only listen, that's fine. We're going to do a lot of word looking or listening together. We're going to let the Word of God come alive today. And I want us to go into a time thinking about what it would have been like to be there right when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. So Jesus is sitting there with a bunch of Jews, and they do this every year. Every year it's time for the Passover feast, and they get together, and Jesus changes it all up because, you know, when you've traveled and you've gone and you're going to be eating a meal in that culture, just like it was in our Togolese culture, you can't show up with your shoes on. And so they show up dirty footed. In Togo, where we lived, you would take your shoes off and you would walk into a house, and sometimes you had to wash your feet. Jesus knows that it's usually somebody that's the one of the lowly ones that's supposed to wash the feet. In fact, a lot of times they would have a servant, but none of the disciples decide to step up for that moment. They sit back and they're just going to go dirty footed as they eat, which would be a total terrible thing to do in that culture. And so they sit there, dirty footed, and Jesus goes and gets a bowl of water, and he gets a towel, and he goes foot to foot. Imagine doing that with Jesus, and you're Judas. You've already made a decision. You're going to sell him out. You're already feeling guilty, and he hasn't even put your hand down in the dip yet. You're feeling it because you know that you've sold out the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet he's washing your feet. Want to learn a lesson in humility? Be the Lord Jesus in that moment, washing the feet of your betrayer. Jesus washed Judas's feet. And then he starts talking to him after he lets Judas go. Judas leaves the party, and a discussion starts, and they don't all understand it. And so in John 13, 33, it starts there, and it says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told all the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come." He's just dismissed Judas. Judas leaves the party, and then he says, "Okay, guys, I'm going too." And they're all thinking, this is really interesting. We've just had this meal, and Jesus took the bread and said, "This is my body, remember me." Those aren't normal words for somebody to say. "I want you to keep remembering me." It kind of left this dinner with this idea of, hey guys, something big's about to happen. And they're all sitting on the edges of their seat, and they haven't figured it out yet, even though Jesus has been preparing them for this moment for years. And he takes the cup and he says, "This is a new cup." See, they've had blood sacrifices in Togo, where we lived. When you would have a sacrifice, it was pretty amazing because people rejoice when they do a sacrifice. They don't rejoice because there's a dead animal or there's blood. They rejoice because there's this promise. When we sacrifice something, there's going to be something that transpires that's changing things. And blood brings forgiveness, and forgiveness brings healing. And so people, when we take the Lord's Supper in Togo, Africa, it's a party. I loved taking the Lord's Supper in Togo because they would start singing, and then they'd start dancing, and the people from the back would start, and they'd come up front, and they'd come by, and they'd get the cup. And in some of our places, they only used one cup. And so there are a lot of lips on that cup. And we would drink one after the other. And they would take that bread. And you know what? They didn't care which order. And that was kind of nice because one of the Gospels actually has cup, bread, cup. But we don't talk about those things. They eat the supper. Judas leaves. And now they're here. And they're sitting on the edges of their seat. And Jesus says, "I'm going to leave you." You got to remember, you've got to remember that Peter has just recently said, "Where else are we going to go? We can only follow you. Everything else, it doesn't hold water. It doesn't take care of us. We're going to go where you go." And then Jesus tells him, "Where I am going, you cannot come." Now read down just a couple of verses later in 36, John 13, 36. So Peter always speaks up. Peter asks, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." The news is getting a little better. "I'm leaving you. You can't come. And then he's like, okay, I'm going, but where I'm going, you'll come later. And they're letting this sink in. And Jesus is having another one of these really difficult discussions with people like me because I'm slow. These are guys that have been with him for 3 years. You would think that they would understand it. He's told them he's going to die. He's going to have this Jonah thing going, 3 days in the belly of the well. I'm going to be in the earth for 3 days. I'm going to rise. They're not getting it. And I'm like that. I don't get Jesus half the time. And I'm just talking in my day-to-day life, not even my reflections on Scripture. And I guess the question is am I going to really reflect on what Scripture says on a day-in and day-out basis? Because I've got people around the world who would love to know more about God, and they have a blank Bible. I have a full Bible in many different translations, and I'm tempted not to look at mine very often and go about my life like it's my own. And I'm like, oh, go ahead, Jesus, I'll catch up later. Which is totally different than what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm going somewhere and you're not ready for it yet, but you will follow me later. And then we go down to John 14. I'm going to just read this and I want it to really sink into your hearts. Put yourself in the setting for just a moment. You've just had the Last Supper with Jesus. He's washed your feet. He's prepared you. You're still not getting it. You're feeling a little shallow. And then he says, hey, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Stop there for a second. I'm going. You'll come later. And now he's trying to tell them where he's going, and he can tell that they're not getting it. Maybe you're like me, a little slow. Bert, we've sat around. We've looked at all the horns in your house. We've looked at the beautiful settings before, and I didn't get it. Sometimes I'm slow. And I think I would have been really slow when Jesus is telling me, don't be troubled, because things are about to happen. And then he tells me, you believe in God, Jeff, believe also in me. And I want to ask you, where's your belief? What's it mean to believe? Does it mean I accept facts? Or does it mean I live by it? There's a real big difference. I can believe something because I'd say, yeah, I saw it in the newspaper. I read it on the internet. The internet's always right. Or I can say, I take this and I hold to it and I live by it. That's what it means to believe here. You believe in God, you also believe in me. My Father's house, and this is such a precious promise. My Father's house has a lot of rooms. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. What a promise. But then we have the doubter. Thomas shows up. You know the place that I'm going? And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, you know the way to get to it. And Thomas is like, Lord, we still don't get it. We don't know where you're going. And hopefully you picked up on it. He says he's going to his Father's house, a place with many rooms. He's preparing that. And they're not getting it. And Thomas is like, we don't even know where you're going, much less what the way is. And then we have this amazing verse that we've heard millions of times, but we don't see it in that context very often because Jesus answered and said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by or through me. Okay, Lord, we want to be with you. We want to go where you are. But we don't even know the way. And Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the only way to be with the Father. You know God, you believe in him, you also believe in me. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through me. Believe in me. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Imagine working with this crew. Okay, Lord, tell us where you're going. Going to my Father's house. Lord, we don't even know where you're going. Show us the way. I am the way. Lord, show us the Father. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen the Father, or anyone who has seen me, has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Now, I want you to see how blasphemous this must have been. To a Jew, to hear somebody say, if you've seen me, you've seen God, that's equating himself with God. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. He has keys to the house. He has a place that he can open the doors to. He's cleaning the house. He's getting it ready. He's preparing it for his disciples so that he can later come back and take them to it. And they're not quite getting it. And I love this next section. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I don't speak by my own authority. Now, this is really interesting. I think we need to really catch what this is talking about, because Jesus says, look, I'm telling you some truths, and it's really hard to believe at face value. So don't believe me based on my authority. And we don't have this problem. But when I was in Togo, the authority that you went with really made a difference. So when I would go to a chief's house, I might show up, but I normally took somebody from the community who was older and wiser. Wiser wasn't hard to find. Older sometimes was a little more difficult if I was looking for a Christian. So I would try to find somebody who is older and wiser, and we would go into the community and we'd sit down, and there would be the chief. And we'd have this interesting discussion. And the chief would say to the older, wiser man who was with me, hello, older, wiser man, it's great to have you. And then he would say, oh, chief, it's so good to be in your presence. I have brought with me someone from the outside. And then it was my turn to say, oh, intermediary, older, wiser man, please tell the chief that we're so honored to be in his presence. No, honey. And then the intermediary would say, no, honey. Oh, great chief, it's so great an honor to be in your presence. And he would say the exact same words that I said. But everything had to go through an intermediary. I had no authority to go to the chief on my own. Everything had to have an authority. It's really interesting. We don't think in hierarchical culture here. We're a pretty egalitarian people. But in most cultures of the world, when you go in, you have to be able to have authority outside of yourself. And Jesus says, don't just take it at my word. Realize that this is not just my authority. The words I say to you, I do not speak by my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. I don't come to you by my authority. I come to you by the authority of the Father who's doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. So if you want to have the proof, don't believe it just because I said it. Believe it because you see what God is doing. You've got the works that prove it. And so that's what backs up my work. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. He just changed it. I've come to you not by my own authority. I'm going to a place I'm going to prepare, and I will allow you to follow. In fact, I'll come back and get you. And I want you to believe all this, but you ain't seen nothing yet, kid. Because I've been doing some amazing stuff. But what I'm doing is going to continue in you, basically, is what he's saying. And it's even going to get tweaked a little bit. It's even going to get better. The way he says it is, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. They didn't want him to go to the Father. They didn't know what it meant for him to leave them. And he's basically saying, guys, if you let me go and I go to the Father, it's even going to get better, because you ain't seen nothing yet, kid. I'm not finished. I'm leaving, but I'm going to continue what I started. Not by my authority, but by God's authority. You're going to do greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. First of all, I want to ask you this morning, are you asking? Are you asking God? Do you pray? We have so many Christians in this world that have a hard time opening their Bible, and they also have a hard time praying. And when I say pray, I don't mean that you have to get down on your knees. I'm saying have a conversation with God. Sometimes that means listening. Do you listen to God? Do you actively just say, Lord, speak to me, show me, teach me your ways? And do you tell him, Lord, these are the things that I'm thinking. I would love to see you do these things. Lord, these are things that are out of my control. My life is in a tailspin, and I need you, Lord. That's prayer. Crying to the Lord is prayer. Talking to the Lord is prayer. Listening to the Lord is prayer. Asking the Lord for things is prayer. Do you pray? We already know that we have struggles reading our Bibles. So even though it's all written, sometimes ours looks blank. And sometimes we have blank prayer lists too. Not because there's not anything worth praying, but because we never get around to it. I've got Facebook. You've got Instagram. My kids have Snapchat. And we have news sources and all these other things. And those are the vital conversations. And we don't have time to ask God, to talk to God about what he wants. But whatever we ask in his name, if we remember, he says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, it goes back to that word authority that we used earlier. When you talk about in the name, it's basically saying, whose authority are you coming in? By whose authority do you approach the Father? By whose will do you approach? And here's an interesting thing. When we pray, it's not that we put it at the end of a prayer. In fact, in Togo, when we would start a prayer in Togo, usually it started in the name of Jesus, and they'd start hallelujah and all kinds of stuff, but it always started in the name of Jesus. I never heard that until I got to Africa. We always end our prayers with that. It's like, sincerely, Jeff. This is not sincerely. In the name of Jesus, amen. That's not what it is. It's not at the end of it, we just have to say in the name of Jesus. We don't think about this when we pray. Whose authority are you praying through? Who's the one that gave you these ideas to pray about? Who's the one that gave you the dreams to say, God, except by your power, there is no way this is going to happen? Who's the one who gives you the struggle so you say, Lord, I am humbled. Please stop. So here's the deal. We pray in the name of Jesus so that it will be done. But often we don't ask in his authority. We don't think that he cares. We think it's a conversation. It's just words. But when we pray, we have somebody who's not with us anymore, because he went to the Father to prepare a place. And he says, because he's there now, he is going to do greater things than he even did when he was on the earth. And he wants us to participate with him in prayer. The interesting thing is by when I think about what Jesus's authority and will and purposes are, those are often not my prayers. I don't pray what Jesus would be praying. Lord, let Jack across the street know you better because that's on your heart. I'm thinking, Lord, I'd really like an extra pay raise this year. Or Lord, let my kids get into the college that I want. Or Lord, and I'm praying all these things according to my will, my purposes, the things that would make me happy. And I haven't said by whose authority did my purposes come from? By whose will am I praying? Because what Jesus is really saying here is, if you pray in accordance with me, if you get in line with my will, it's going to be done and then some. Whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask in accordance with my will, my purposes, my power, those things are going to be done so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. And when we get disappointed, maybe it's because somebody had cancer and we're like, God, you just didn't listen. I don't even know if I should pray to you anymore. I had somebody tell me one time, Jeff, if we prayed as hard to keep the sinners or get the sinners to heaven as we do to keep the saints out of hell, the church might be a little different. Think about that. We pray so much for people not to be ill so that they won't die, but we don't think about people who don't know Jesus sometimes. What are Jesus's will or his purposes? What is his will? What is he praying in heaven? And how can we get in tune with his purposes? That's what he wants for you. And that's what he wants for me. That's what he was wanting for his disciples. He's saying, guys, I'm leaving and stay in my will. Stay in accordance with my purposes. Pray. And if you're praying the way that I've been praying, it's going to be done. But that means I have to realign my focus, realign my day, realign my priorities. And maybe you do too. I'm going to paraphrase John 14, 10 through 14 for a second, and then I'll give us a couple of applications. Can't you see that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? Whatever I say is not by my own authorization or endorsement. Rather, it's the Father who lives in me who is getting things done. You've got to believe me when I say that I am in the Father and he's in me. And if that's too much for you, at least take into account the ample evidence by the very things that have been done. In fact, the truth is that whoever believes in me will be able to keep doing these works that I have done and more. Why? Because I won't be with you anymore as I go back to the Father. And when this occurs, don't you get it? The Father will still get the glory, but through me, as I will accomplish whatever you ask by my authorization and in full endorsement. So ask for anything that I have endorsed and authorized, and that will be done. Church, I want to thank you for being part of our ministry, for allowing people to have the Word of God translated into their own languages. And I pray that you will continue to pray with me as I learn to pray. I want to learn to pray in accordance with God's will, not Jeff's will. I want to learn what his purposes are and what he's up to. Jesus knew the way. He knew that he was going to the Father. And I want to get to the Father. So first of all, I have to work on myself and say, Lord, let me realize who you are. Let me realize who God is. Let me figure out that you are the way and show me the way, the path, the road, the trail, the route. I was thinking of the Boy Scouts. Need a trail guide sometimes. We get patches for getting trail worthy. I don't know what you guys call it. And Jesus is saying, be trail wise. Be trail wise. I am the way. I'm the trail. I'm the only route to the Father. If you really know me, you already know the Father. Here's some things that I want you to be thinking about to get in tune with the will of God. Three ends. Do you know the names of people around you? Do you know the names of your neighbors and the people you work with? So names of people around you, your neighbors, your neighborhood. Do you know your neighborhood? And do you know the nations? If you start praying for these three ends, I think it will really change some things. Lord, who have you put in my life? What are those names? Lord, who are my neighbors? The people that I come into contact with. The people that are around me at work, at school, or wherever you are. And Lord, who are the people outside of my borders? Who are the people who need to know you? Think about the names, the neighbors, and the nations. Take it where you live, where you work, and where you play. Let it be holistic. And we pray in accordance with his will. When we see Jesus work, we know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. But what he wants us to do is put ourselves into a prayerful mode. And I'm going to ask us to do something that we haven't probably been asked to do for a little bit. I'm going to give you a thought prompt, and I'm going to ask you to pray. So let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, we thank you that Jesus came, and we thank you that he served men who were just like us, and they often didn't get it. Help us to be humble right now as you wash our feet. In our humility, Lord, allow us to confess our sins to you, because we know that like Judas and all the others, we are not worthy to eat with you. But you have made us worthy. You have cleansed us. Let us confess. Lord, let us be content that you are preparing a place for us. And let us put our hope in you. Lord, we've confessed. Now we also realize that sometimes we are cynical without hope because we don't know the Father and we don't know the way and we don't know what you're up to. So take away our cynicism. Give us hope. Let us see that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we thank you for the things that you have done. And for just a moment, we're going to tell you in our own hearts the things that we have seen, the glories of your work. Thank you for the work that you've done to change us and to change the world. And those works are self-evident that this is not by your authority, Jesus, but it's the one who lives in you and empowers you because you and the Father are one. We praise the Father. We praise the Son. And now, Lord, we want to pray in accordance with your will, not our own will. Just after Jesus prayed these things, he was in the garden with his disciples and he prayed that your will would be done, even though it wasn't exactly what he wanted. Help us to be humble for that. And now let each of us pray for names of people that we know that need Jesus. List off the names of people that you know that need Jesus. Tell the Lord. Lord, we think of our neighbors and our neighborhoods, and we submit these to you, even when we don't agree with them or we don't like their policies. Be with our towns. Be with the people across the street and down the road, around the corner. And we pray for the nations. Pray for people that you know in other countries. Father, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Teach us to pray, not by our own will, but by your will. May you be glorified. All of this to the glory of the Father. May Jesus rest in us. May we be content that he is with the Father and listening to our prayers. Thank you, Father, for the Spirit who's in us and groans on our behalf. Let us ask in the name of Jesus, knowing that you hear. And Lord, may we see more evidence. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to ask you, are you reading? I want to ask you, are you praying? And take it further, are you reading and praying in accordance with his will and his purposes? Or are you doing like me and thinking of what I want? As we submit ourselves, God wants to change us radically and transform us from the inside out. My prayer is that this church will continue to partner with missionaries around the world, and that you'll be missionaries in your own community, and that you will take names to Jesus on a day in and day out basis. I want to thank you again for being with us, but maybe you have needs this morning that you'd like to confess or you'd like prayers for. I don't know exactly how this church does it. If you guys stand and sing, song leader, do you guys typically stand and sing? So we're going to sing in a second. And when we do, if you have something that you want to bring before the church, then you know how to do it. And I don't. So I'm going to trust you with the rest of this. I thank you for letting me be with you this morning. And I'll let us stand and sing.